a deeper meaning of some of the other elements in the story, namely the star, the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men. And my talk title is A Star to Follow. But first, some Christmas trivia. Are you ready?
Yes.
Did you know that candy canes have a spiritual meaning behind them?
No.
Yes. When they were created, they were formulated to be the shape of a shepherd's staff. That's right. Also, the letter J for Jesus. The red represents his death on the cross, and the white is the purity and the light of the ascension. White also symbolizes the purity of Mary and the virgin birth. And it's solid, like the foundation of God. So if you eat one this Christmas, make it a sacred moment. All that sugar. I'm always intrigued by the origin of things, and the origin of the Christmas celebration is to honor the return of the light. It comes from a pagan ritual centered around the winter solstice, for those of us living in the Northern Hemisphere, foretelling the return of the spring. When the sun is at its farthest point from the earth, that's the time to celebrate the rebirth of the light. And so the early Christians were very adept at taking pagan celebrations that were already in existence and Christianizing them. So the honoring of the return of the sun became the honoring of the birth of the sun, S-O-N. And I mentioned last week some research from this book, Bible Myths and Their Parallels in Other Religions, great book, about how the virgin birth story was found in many traditions predating Christianity. Well, the tale of the star is also well known. Moses and Abraham had bright stars shining when they were born. The births of Krishna and Buddha, the Greek god Apollo, were all foretold by stars. The prophet Muhammad was born with celestial heralding. It's a common sign of the birth of a spiritual leader or an avatar. And also, many of these births included some form of heavenly host or angelic beings proclaiming the news. Jesus wasn't the only one with visitors bearing gifts. Krishna also received gifts of sandalwood and perfume. The Buddha was visited by Rishi, who brought costly jewels and precious substances. Confucius was visited by wise men. These symbols are universal archetypes, and they show up in many traditions. Because of that, we can look closer at them. We can see what the underlying truth is that is contained in the story. Isn't that great?
Yes.
Really. What is the metaphysical meaning? What is the metaphorical meaning that I can take from the elements of the story of the birth of Jesus? What does it mean personally to me in my spiritual journey? How are these symbols within me? And this is what we want to take a closer look at this morning, beginning with the star. And we can consult some Unity publications to help us with this. Unity's co-founder, Charles Fillmore, was pretty masterful at interpreting scripture metaphysically. And a lot of what you're going to hear this morning is taken from his work. So the star in this story represents the guiding light that is within us, within each one of us. It's the inspiration, it's the illumination, it's the direction from spirit that is within our hearts, always waiting, always ready to shine forth. So metaphysically, the star of Bethlehem leads us to a higher consciousness within. It beckons us to follow. And that star is ever present, ready to awaken us to the truth, to guide us to the sleeping child cradled in our hearts. It's the awakening of the realization of who we are, the awakening of our spiritual essence, our God self. So this guidance, it's always shining. It's always shining brightly, willing to lead us. It's the living light. But here's the thing, we have to be receptive to it. In the story, only certain people could see the star. If you remember, King Herod, he couldn't see it. And we'll hear more about Herod a little later. But the star was there shining for everyone to see, but Herod was unable to follow it. Only the illumined followed it. So metaphysically, this guidance is always there for us to follow. The sun is always shining, but do we see it? Do we get the message from spirit, or do we look through a clouded vision, obscured by judgments, thoughts, looking through the lens of limiting beliefs from the past? Because those clouds can hide our view of the light. So we have to raise our sights. As Charles Fillmore said, stars may be remote, but are bright if we look up to them. So we need to look up. We need to raise our vision to a higher perspective, see with clarity. Now, the shepherds were the first to pay homage to the baby Jesus after being visited by the angel and told where to find the Holy Family. And in the book of Luke, we read these beautiful words of scripture. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Can't you just hear the Charlie Brown piano playing behind me? I love this scripture. I love this scripture. It puts me right into that mood. And so in the biblical tradition, many great leaders were originally shepherds. Moses was a shepherd before becoming a leader to free the Hebrew nation from slavery. David was a shepherd before becoming king. This shepherd state of mind is a precursor to becoming something greater, becoming more, rising up. When Moses was tending his flocks, he saw the burning bush. When David was a shepherd, his humility, his hopeful expectancy allowed him to have complete faith in God and courage to face Goliath. So imagine the shepherds that night, humble, quietly tending their flock, when they're dazzled by the appearance of the angel and told the most wondrous story. When you and I stay in a place of humble and hopeful expectancy, openness, willingness to be led to the truth, we can have those flashes of deep spiritual understanding, angelic revelations, as they did that night. As Al did. That's how I would describe what happened to you. Tending the flock metaphysically means watching our thoughts, being mindful, keeping them focused and in alignment with what we want to bring forth, choosing our thoughts wisely. And when we do that, we can be visited by an angel. Now, this is the ultimate gift of the Christ consciousness. Angels are messengers of spirit working inside each and every one of us, bringing us the good tidings of great joy, if we're humble and quiet enough to hear it. So are you listening for those messages?
Yes.
For word from the angels. What I've discovered is this. When you listen and look for angels, you find them. It's the same as looking at life with gratitude. When we start looking for things to be grateful for, what happens? We find them. We find more and more things to be grateful for. When I start looking for evidence of angels, I find that evidence. I read the story about a woman whose husband had once shared with her that as a child, there was a boy in his neighborhood that got a bright, shiny new bicycle for Christmas. And her husband said he had never owned a bike of his own throughout his whole childhood. So she got the idea of buying him a bike for Christmas. And she said so half jokingly in the store one day. And her husband very emphatically said, "Do not buy me a bike. I don't want one. I'm not that kid anymore. I've gotten beyond that childhood self that felt like he never got the bike, so don't buy it." So she heard the message. Okay. She put the idea aside until one day he said to her, "Here's a bike you can buy me." And so she thought, well, what game is he playing here? Then she saw the catalog he was looking at. There was a picture of a family in a developing country overjoyed that someone had bought a bike for the father so that he could go to work and pay for his children to go to school. So she happily sent money off to the organization and bought a bike in her husband's name for a family halfway around the world.
Well, that was nice.
Yes. There are many ways we can be angels for each other. Many of us participated in the Tree of Sharing, buying gifts for people going through challenging times. This week, we had a woman who lives locally come by with a few of these bags for the homeless to be given out. And she said, "I can't distribute these this year. Could you do it? Do you know anyone who could do it?" Well, we have a few left. And so if you would like to do that, please see Rebecca after the service. We have a few, just a few left. And they're Christmas, they have Christmas-type things in there, so it needs to be done before, in the next couple of days. So there's many ways we can be angels, and I invite you to look this week for all the ways that angels are showing up in your life. And look for how you can be an angel to another. Because you know what? All of us have angelic impulses. And when we follow them, we're being in service to humanity. By following the inner star, we can be guided into that joyful service. Do you see how when we are doing these things, it opens us up to the joy that we are? So if you get the urge to bless someone and you don't understand why, maybe the angels are whispering to you to make a difference, to do something on their behalf. And what a great quest that is. Because you know what? That's how the world transforms, through us, through our acts of kindness with each other, through our caring and our sharing. If you want to see an angel, you need to be an angel. As Mary Oliver says, only if there are angels in your head will you ever possibly see one. And so in light of that, I have made up a new phrase that works for me, and that is called angel retentive. And that means we hang on to messages from Spirit. We retain them. We let them guide us into expressing our true nature. So let me ask you, are you ready to become angel retentive?
Yes.
So take time to listen to those angelic messages. Pay attention to them. Hold them in your heart. Because, you know, we might look at this time of year with the tinsels and the lights and say, you know, how can we enjoy these Hallmark moments, these Christmas movies, when the truth is the world is in such crisis? Maybe that schmaltziness is exactly what we need. Maybe that's the exact state of mind that can help bring healing to the world. You see that? Opening our hearts is the way that it happens. Discovering the true joy of the season. Being joy. Feeling the love and the excitement, embodying angelic impulses. One of the reasons I love this time of year so much is because my mother was the biggest kid of all at Christmas. And she radiated the joy of it. And that joy was real. So every December it kicks in for me automatically. And I always miss my mom this time of year, especially when I'm decorating or doing something that we used to do together. But it's this feeling of joy that rises up. That is the angelic energy that exists within every single one of us all throughout the year. Maybe it can get activated during the holiday season, but the truth is it is our deeper dimension of wholeness and beauty that is accessible every single moment of our lives, ready to come forth, to see each other as the face of God. Really? Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
The Christmas spirit may come in many disguises, but it is divine love made visible. Human kindness touches us deep within our hearts, allows us to experience each other in that way, and we truly can become angels for each other. So this is what brings us joy. And here's a guide for living the life you want. Say yes to things. Say yes to things that bring you joy. Say no to things that don't. If it's a maybe, it's probably a no. So let me ask you, are you tending your sheep? Are you spending time in the quiet every day listening for the messages from Spirit? Are you following angelic impulses that bring you joy? Are you following the star within you? Because that guidance, that inspiration, will lead you right inside of yourself. And you'll discover such amazing wonders, as it did for the wise men in our story. The wise men. From the book of Matthew now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now Herod is troubled by this question. After all, he was the king of the Jews. So he gathered his scribes together and asked them where Christ would be born, and they answered, "Bethlehem." So Herod sent the wise men there and told them to tell him when they found that baby, so that he could also worship. Treachery. Herod, the Darth Vader of this Bible story. He's up to no good. This is a king who's so threatened by the birth of the Christ child, he orders all babies under the age of 2 to be killed. Nasty. Can we have a boo for Herod?
Boo!
Remembering, of course, that all the characters and symbols in the story can be found within us. What do you think Herod represents in the story of our own spiritual journey? Fear, the voice of the ego. Or as we call it, edging God out, the false identity, the part of us that believes in separation from God, that believes in our littleness. It's always fearful, threatened by the birth of something new, by the expansion of our spiritual identity, because what will happen to it? Sees it as a threat. In fact, tries to kill off the idea. It's that voice inside us that tells us we can't do that, or that we're powerless, or that we're not good enough. But when we hear the voice of Herod, here's what we want to remember. It's not speaking the truth. It's a lie. And see, the wise men realized that. They knew better than to go back and tell him that they'd found the child. And we have that same wisdom that they had inside of us to help us discern the truth. Wise men from the east. We assume there were 3 of them since there were 3 gifts. Doesn't actually say that anywhere. Maybe there were more and they pitched in on a gift. So the wise men metaphysically represent our own inner wisdom, our spiritual insight. And I heard a story about a grandmother who used her gift of wisdom one Christmas. One year, the mother of 3 teenagers declared she was no longer going to remind them to write thank you notes for their Christmas gifts. And as a result, their grandmother didn't receive any acknowledgments for the rather generous checks that she had written to each of them. The following year, things were different. She shared with her friend that every single one of her grandchildren had come over in person to thank her for her gift. And the friend exclaimed, "How wonderful! What do you think caused the change in their behavior?" "Easy," said the grandmother, "I forgot to sign the checks." Very wise woman. Later in Matthew, we read, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." These gifts that they brought represent our own spiritual resources. Gold. The abundance in our lives when we follow Spirit's guidance. Frankincense, the transforming power of prayer. Like incense, it rises heavenward. And myrrh, used for embalming, the power of surrender. Where'd you go? Surrender and release. And these are the riches that are available to us through our realization of the oneness we have with Spirit, with the power and presence of the divine. And as we surrender to this truth, to surrender to the greater mind, expand our prayer consciousness, let go of limitations that may be holding us back, these gifts rise up. And they're all within us right now, waiting to be unwrapped. Emerson said, though we travel the world over to find the beautiful, we must carry it with us or we will not find it. The truth is, we do carry it with us. When our own inner magi are stirred to action, the mystical journey begins, the journey inward, the journey to peace. And every one of us is traveling that journey right now. Our own inner wisdom can guide us and direct us and inspire us and bring us such gifts when we follow the star, when we let the inspiration, the guidance of God show us the way. So to find that beauty, follow the star. Look within for the guiding light, Spirit's inspiration, illumination, direction. Listen for it. In order to do that, spend time in the silence, listening with a humble expectancy. And then tend to your thoughts. Keep them focused on what you want to come forth. Feel the way you're going to feel when it happens. And listen for the angelic messages. Look for the angels. Be an angel for someone. Become angel retentive. And then let the wisdom of your heart be your guide. Allow that wisdom to rise up from within you, bearing gifts. And join me in holding the vision that all beings joyfully awaken to the inherent goodness within them and within each other. This is the true message of the story of the birth of Jesus. And may all beings awaken to this truth. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, thank you. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury.